Live and local. The Weeknd.
Seriously, I really like what you have to say. I mean, the way you formulate a thought in a sentence that goes with that thought, it correlates with reality. And I'm hoping that you can be on the air more in the future. Now, by the way, it's Saturday morning. This is your friend Chet. And a big, big listener of Kiki FT. Take care.
News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
I guess that means me. Okay. How's it going, folks? John Potter, live and local. Yes, the music, the moment I speak, the music stops. Are we still on the air, guys? Okay. Yeah, what happened to the music?
Yes. It was a very short clip after the intro. Okay.
Well, this is one of those days. I just suffered through an hour of rental car lobby anxiety. You know, some places have it all together. By the way, I'm John Potter. Some places have it all together. You know, I usually go to Budget at Meadowood Mall. You know, they have everything ready for me, and it's easy to return a vehicle. We just came back from a trip, and I just wanted to return the vehicle. And I made an appointment for 8 o'clock this morning to return the vehicle at this other place. I'm not going to say which is, but... an hour to return the vehicle. And I'm waiting for this guy who's on the phone for 20 minutes. I swear to God, somebody called up this rental car agency and was just asking if they can get a bigger vehicle rental than what they currently have. And the man spent 20 minutes on the phone with this guy. And I finally, after 15 minutes, I went up to the counter. Craig knows this move. I go up and I slam my phone on the counter. It didn't get me to return the car any faster, folks. This place, they don't know what they're doing, but I can't blame them because they were telling everybody they're short-staffed. There's a long line. I just wanted to return the vehicle, you know? And I got to say to you business owners who purposely keep things short-staffed to save a couple of bucks here and there, it doesn't work because I'm never going to rent a car from this place again. It's as a business person, you should know this. And I'm amazed. Well, actually, I'm not amazed when so many places go out of business. This is one of the reasons why you want return business. It's a thing, you know. I'm so sorry, Craig, that I made you nervous. I just flew in the door right now. I literally told them, I'm going to take this car, and I'll return it when I want, because I attempted to return it today, and it didn't work. But you and I both know that would never work. They'd charge me an extra day or two, right? The little man.
Of course they'll charge
yes,
you.
Yes, right, exactly. But I stayed there, folks. I stayed there, and I rushed back here because... I'm the George Custer of radio, and I do not leave. I leave my boots on. That makes no sense at all. So anyway, we got to, we're training a new person, and this is a terrible show to foist upon this person. Craig, he'll probably never come back. He's there in Carson City learning the system, and I'm scaring the hell out of him, aren't I?
Yeah, I don't think so. He's not even on headsets right now. So, yeah, I don't think he's heard anything you said in the past couple minutes.
Tell him I play records.
Okay.
Listen, after seeing that, I have to say about, of course he's going to talk about the debate, right? Yes, I'm John Potter, now known as the last person to ask, so what did you think of the debate? What'd you think?
Why, young man, we've already talked about this yesterday. I wish you had heard what I had to say. Well, I didn't. I was at P.F. Chang's happy hour, and I missed your words. So please tell us, 884-9910.
I got to say first off about the debate that after seeing that televised presentation on Thursday night, I wasn't so bad on TV after all. You know? My wife and I watched Thursday night. Yeah, Craig knows. Kathy is a diehard liberal. I am a golden rule. Take responsibility. Ask not what your country can do, but what can you do for your country conservative? Yes, JFK these days would be regarded as a conservative Republican, but I, like you, like Ronald Reagan and many others, I didn't leave the Democratic Party, and I was a Democrat. I didn't leave the party. The party left me. And so my wife and I, and by the way, working at Channel 2, actually showed me, steered me to being a conservative, because I saw how many stories are not reported. But that's something for another day. But anyway, my wife and I, we are polar opposites when it comes to politics. And I don't know if you have this situation in your home, folks. I've seen examples where one is a conservative, one is liberal, and it doesn't work out too well, and they fight over which lawn signs they put in the front yard and everything. I'll tell you, at my home, it works. You know, we chide a bit. We watch the news. We provide a little bit of our own commentary back and forth. And it works. What can I say? I stopped taking everything, and I mean everything, seriously, years ago. I'll maybe take death seriously, but everything else, 6-7 years ago, I stopped doing that. I don't take anything seriously, and I guess that's why it works. And I recommend that attitude to you. It's very liberating. It's amazing. It's refreshing. And it generates, for married couples out there who don't talk back and forth much, having different opinions generates conversation. So anyway, watching the debates, we're chiding. We usually chide a little bit. We make a comment or two. It never leads to an argument. That debate, we were sitting on the couch in total silence. And I said the first words after 20 minutes. I said, this is sad. We reacted with sadness and then anger. Sadness, because my first reaction to Joe Biden having troubles with senior issues, not being able to follow a thought or remember nouns and verbs, was to help him. Somebody go up and help that man. Anger, because we realized then and there, we don't have a president. Who's running the country? Is it Dr. Jill? Is Obama calling up every morning and telling him what to do? And second reason I felt anger was that we were lied to. We were lied to. Media, your whole job is to cover the president, one man, every day. There are people assigned to cover just the president. That's their entire job. And they report on the president every day live on the network news. Sure, these reporters, they don't see him every day, but they have all their contacts with just about everybody in the White House who's important. They talk to staff at the White House every day. There are conversations. This is all they do. This is their beat. Worse, you knew CBS, NBC, CNN, you knew, and you lied to us for years. The man suddenly didn't get afflicted with Alzheimer's on Wednesday night. And you lied to your audience every night. I flipped around and I caught the Fox show, The Five, last night. They rerun it, I think, at about 9 o'clock. I didn't expect to see it, but I watched it for a minute. I avoid watching The Five. It's a very good show. It really is. But I do not watch it, because they say some very insightful things and they have some very sharp and good opinions, but I can't watch because I want my thoughts and I want my opinions to be my own. I can't adopt what others say. It's not me, and it would be boring to you for me to rewrite the same thoughts that these people have. Last night, I watched Real Time with Bill Maher, and he was, as always, hilarious and brilliant. And I would love to say here what he said, but it wouldn't be me. And yes, I laughed. I laughed during the Bill Maher show because that's when you need to laugh in the darkest of times. But back to not being told things and watching The Five, they were showing videos of the news networks where the news networks outright knowingly presented this very false picture of the president's health. A video of NBC they showed and Morning Joe insulting those who dared raise the question about Joe's mental health. This guy was, I mean, it was insulting anger. It's go F yourself is what Morning Joe said to people who said Joe might have cognitive problems. The media hiding what we should know, like they did about the Wuhan lab releasing COVID and Hunter's laptop. What else are we lied to about? And this, by the way, is why mainstream newspapers and the big three news networks are becoming irrelevant. It's not like people like to say, oh, it's because people are so angry and partial now. No, the people did not change. It's because you, the media, took a turn for the left, you big three media, and we left you to find news sources that tell us both sides of the story. So what else does the White House and the TV news lie about? Are we told the true inflation numbers? I mean, are we told, are they hiding the true motive behind Trump's prosecution? Dr. Jill knew more than anyone, earlier than anyone, yet she pushed him to be the spectacle. As you saw at the end of the debate, when she came up to the podium, she said, you did a great job. You hit all your talking points. Good job, etc. What is her motive for doing that? I would guess it's power and getting catered to and getting to live in the White House, because the lust for power, folks, is not bound by gender. Okay. Plus, Joe Biden took an unprecedented 10 days to prepare for this debate. And I'm sure the disability was evident then. I'm sure it came up during these practice sessions, wouldn't you think? But they knew. They saw it all 10 days, and yet they pushed him out there in front of 80 million plus people to stand there and suffer and be humiliated. It angers me to no end. It was elder abuse of the highest magnitude. And now this is a matter of the 25th Amendment. And it's a grave matter of national security, too, because our enemies in North Korea, China, Russia, and Iran, they saw what we did, that we have no president. And what is the saying? When the guard dog is toothless, a lot of foxes come for the chickens. It's time. It's time to take a deep breath. Let's go to the phones. Bob is calling from Reno. He reads, polar opposites. Okay, Bob, I'm so glad you called. Good morning.
Yes, this is Bob from Sparks.
I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Bob from Sparks. Now, first of all, this thing you brought up about elder abuse, it's probably a good thing that Jill doesn't live in Nevada, because I just heard that the penalty for elder abuse in Nevada, the penalty for it is greater than a penalty for first-degree murder. Maybe you could elaborate on that a little bit. But anyway, I wanted to follow up on something I talked to you about 3 weeks ago. You had just gone on a CPAP machine. I told you it would take a couple of weeks for you to get some feedback on how well it worked. So now it's been about 3 weeks. How did it work?
Well, I just came back from the place and got my second mask. I thought I picked the right mask before. This was I don't want to bore other people about this. Listen, long story short, you know what? At this point, if I die in my sleep, I'm almost okay with it. Dealing with these things, and the thing wakes me up. If it senses an obstruction in my nasal passages or something, it goes full ramp speed and makes a racket and wakes me up. What's the purpose of the CPAP machine if before I would sleep the full 6 hours and now right on the dot wakes me up at 2 a.m. Then I turn the thing off and I'm wide awake, obstruction apparently gone, and I go back to sleep and it wakes me up again at 4 a.m. So I'm getting less sleep and I don't think that's healthy. So I went from the full... face mask to the nasal thing, but you're not supposed to breathe through your mouth. So they put this, they gave me this chin strap. I look like Hannibal Lecter next to my wife. That's very sexy, I know, but that's what I look like, a Hannibal Lecter's mask, and it's uncomfortable. I will fall asleep, but the darn machine wakes me up. This is very boring to everybody else, but Bob, I appreciate your concern in asking me about that. Have a good day. Oh, this is why I'm here. I let it all out. Let's hear from you. I was about to give my phone number. Oh my gosh. It's 884-9910. I wasn't trained for radio. I'm a TV guy. Where's the camera? We're going to take a break. I'm John Potter. 884-9910. Yeah, that's the ticket. That's our number. Call about anything, but the topic is the debate for now. Be very pleased to hear from you. 884-9910. This is 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 922.
Live, local, FM Talk, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Thanks for the text, John. Please slow down. Sorry about that. I will... as the subdued and restrained man that I will be from now on, hold out and not push upon you my views, my reactions, and what I thought about the debate. We'll make this quick and end it. If nobody's calling, I'll just wrap up the topic. The thing is, I got to say, I despise the news media anchors and reporters who no longer follow just the facts, and that's the way it is, and they instead try to sway you. They tell you how to vote. They hide certain news items from you. I've always despised that kind of reporter. So I try not to do it. I've always who cares what I think? You know, I
younger, smarter. Better. FM Talk KKFT FM 99.1 is FM Talk for Smith and Mason Valley. 92.3 FM Talk KKFT.
John Potter back with you. Sorry about those interruptions, but we're back for the whole hawk now. The topic is 5G. The website that I was directed to by these fine folks we're going to hear from is zero, spell it out, zero. Five, the number five, G.com, which reads, there is no safe level of 5G or wireless radiation for people or the rest of nature. Now, I said this is a local topic because there are some folks in Douglas County very concerned about this. So let's go to Carson City, and thank you for coming up because we heard about this. Casey Rogers. Casey, are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for having us.
All right. So you put this website together?
No, it's not our website, but it was one we were pointed to. It's been very helpful and useful for us.
Why is this an issue in Douglas County?
Well, it's an issue because they're trying to put up two towers specifically right above children and in a neighborhood. And we know how toxic it is and the fire dangers that it can cause. And we're bringing awareness to our community and to our town and letting them know this is something that we need people to step up and help us fight because it is dangerous for our health. As you can see on Zero 5G, it talks about all the biological effects and other things that it can do to your, but children are not studied, and there it's right on. There's a Allie and Friends daycare is right under there. It's the number one daycare in the town of Minden, and they're right going to be right next door and right under it. And
these are powerful towers, of course.
Microwave technology, sir. Microwave technology.
Radiation. Okay.
Yes.
What evidence do you have that this is harmful?
Well, we have lots of evidence that it's harmful. I'm going to let Greg speak on that a little bit because he has a plethora of knowledge on that. So go ahead, Greg.
All right. Hi, Greg.
Hi. How are you, John?
Good.
I think what people have to understand is the fact that the FCC governs cell tower installations. They utilize 1996 safety data or health data that was that they developed on 2G and 3G apparatus. Today, you know, 4G and 5G are prevalent. What happened was the Environmental Health Trust Agency, as well as Children's Health Defense, sued the FCC in 2001. They sued them because they do not look at the biological impacts of these 5G towers. And so what happens is they were sued and by these two organizations. Those two organizations produced over 11,000 studies of negative health effects based on the 5G and non-ionizing radiation. The only thing that the FCC uses is effects based on thermal impacts to the body over a 30-minute cycle. And it does not take into account the accumulative effects of this radiation. So we aren't against cell towers. We just want them to be done responsibly so that it doesn't impact us.
Well, we have electromagnetic radiation from cell phones. We had it with 4G. We get it from the microwave, I remember as a kid, Mom telling me, "Don't put the walkie-talkie so close to your ear." How different is 5G really that different from all of these other things that we've been living with all these years?
I personally believe that it is. If you read the scientific data, John, I don't think that it's in dispute when you read some of the scientific information produced by this equipment, either the towers and even the cell phones have a negative impact on your body. It's just now, unfortunately, coming to the forefront where public is more aware of what 5G and 4G can do to the body. And it does, in the scientific literature, particularly with the medical aspects of it, it can produce cancers, it can produce other negative health effects that are detrimental to the body. And what's very concerning to us is with these a dance studio and a daycare center sitting 200 feet from the placement of this tower, children in particular can be much more impacted with the radiation produced from these cell towers because of their physical structures. Their brains, their bone mass is less than an adult, so that radiation can impact them at a greater level. And the dangerous thing really, and I can't stress enough, is this is accumulative to the body. It's very similar. If you take a look at what happened in the 1950s with smoking, that was poo-pooed for over 50 years until they finally came out and said, hey, smoking causes cancer. The same thing we believe is going to take place over time related to this. The same thing with glyphosate. You know, Roundup was thought, oh, gee, no problem here. But again, Monsanto was sued. They lost that suit. And unfortunately, glyphosate is very cancer-causing.
Your one cause, though, apparently is to get something done about this tower, which is right over the child care place, because honestly, you and I know there is no chance of this country retracting from 5G, my friend.
Oh, I agree with you. And I have somebody else here that wants to say something, so I'm going to let her talk.
Hi, John. I'm Susie. I'd like to answer that one question you said about our cell phones and Wi-Fi and smart meters. You're right. We are exposed to those. But you have the ability to mitigate this, to make it safer in your home. But when you live right next to a cell tower, there's nothing you can do about it. And it's radiating the 5G 24/7, and we're completely exposed. This, you know, the intensity, the power, the strongest power density from a RF cell tower hits at about 240 feet. This daycare sits 225 feet away. It's very dangerous. In New Hampshire, they have a bill called HB 1644 that they went with this bill after a year-long study from experts in the field of physics, toxicology, and public policy. Their conclusion was that wireless radiation poses a significant threat to human health and the environment. And that's if you're close. All we're asking for is that these cell towers stay out of the neighborhoods.
How are you going to do that specifically? Who can you go to and get the things in motion to get the tower away from the child care center?
We've been dealing with our local board members. They've been wonderful. They've listened to what we've had to say. We've dug up a lot of evidence as to reason why nobody should live under a cell tower. It is dangerous. There's multiple studies. There's a study from Germany that people who lived just 1,300 feet from a cell tower, they had three times more cancer rate. Israel study, same thing, 1,100 feet, four times more chances of cancer. All we want, we know, everybody, we are all addicted to our phones, we need our phones, we love what they do. We just have to do it smart. You know, Minden-Gardnerville is a rural area, beautiful area, and we're just asking not to have our whole valley layered with cell phone towers and just what we need to get good service.
Interesting. And, you know, I knew somebody who worked at the power company, doesn't anymore, but he would work around these 5G towers. A lot of them were installed, on the power transition towers. And he was going home very fatigued with headaches.
Right.
And it was enough for him to quit. So obviously you're looking for public support to do something about this tower. You've reached the appropriate agency. So let's use the power of radio. What do you want from us, and what do you want from the folks listening?
Well, if they could show up at the meeting, people in Minden-Gardnerville, if they could show up at July 3rd meeting, 5:30, the CVIC Hall, and just understand that these, we, like Greg said earlier about the lawsuit against the FCC, they have never produced, 3 years later, they have never produced a current safety report at all. And we're calling them out on that, and they still can't produce it. The other thing is just, this is so important, you guys. There has never, ever been a children's safety test, ever. No safety test done on children. And that's important. Nobody has produced that. So we don't want our kids used as an experiment. We worry about these kids. We don't want this cell tower on top of them, nor our neighborhoods. You know, in Los Angeles County, the fire departments and San Diego County are restricting cell towers from being on their property due to the fact that they had six firemen on the same site all develop neurological symptoms and had abnormal brain scans. This you can look up through Susan Foster under cell towers. I mean, it's out there. The information is out there. It's just nobody knows about it. It's not being talked about.
Great. Now, the website that you referred me to, let me repeat what that is. Zero, you spell it out, zero5g.com.
Right. Okay? There's a lot of different websites, yeah.
All right. And you guys going to get together and have a rally or anything, or you just want folks to come to the next meeting?
If people want to show up and find out where to meet to do a rally, that's fine. We have a lot of people signing petitions,
okay,
and they're against this tower.
Where can people sign the petition?
If they meet us at the board, the town board meeting, we'll have petitions there to sign.
Town board meeting. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Anything else?
No, just thank you for listening, and I hope people will look into this.
Good luck. I'm always happy to open up the airwaves for folks who have some serious concerns. A tower over child care Yes, got my attention. Thank you so much, crew. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
All right. Folks, we're looking ahead to Independence Day. The 4th of July is, as you know, this coming Thursday. I don't know what your plans are, but let me read this headline in the San Francisco Chronicle. It reads, "How is this enjoyable for visitors? Tahoe braces for 4th of July chaos." 4th of July is a very, very big event in Tahoe. It is bigger than here, always has been, with the fireworks over the lake. And I think, you know what, half the Bay Area is coming to Tahoe to party if they haven't gotten there already for the 4th of July. And it takes a real toll on the beaches there, for sure. And then come the Monday after, and you see this all the time, pictured on Facebook or Reddit, X, and TikTok, there are just heaps of trash, like a waste management truck tooled out there and just dumped what it had on our beach. I'm not exaggerating at all. The volunteers will tell you when they go out there, and thank God for the volunteers, by the way, and they try to pick up the trash, there's not an opening in the sand for them to put their feet, especially as you get close to Zephyr Cove. It's a real problem. And stunningly, nothing really is done about it. We fully expect it. The city fully expects it. State Line or South Lake, all the towns with beaches fully expect this to happen for 4th of July. They just go with the flow there. But the locals have had it up to here. Heaps of trash and even things like picnic chairs and tables and water rafts that people leave behind after they celebrate the 4th of July, just left behind by the two-legged locusts. And this article in the San Francisco Chronicle says Tahoe residents are warily bracing themselves, as they rightly should, mainly over the hordes that will soon appear over the hill, filling up roads and beaches, hotels and restaurants. One local says, "We have to have enough food as if there's a natural disaster coming." That's how Tahoe stocks up. More than 15 million visitors come to Lake Tahoe every year, more than the most popular national parks. The 4th of July is the apex of Lake Tahoe tourism. It begins pretty much today, a stream of cars spilling over the mountains, fleeing triple-digit temperatures for a vacation along the shoreline of Lake Tahoe. Oh, that is good writing. When not at work, longtime Tahoe residents stay home to avoid the chaos that tourism brings. Do you folks have a view on this? 884-9910. Do you have an opinion on this? What can be done? If the sheer size of crowds is not enough to scare locals away, then it's the trash. Last year, on the day after the 4th of July, volunteers picked up and documented 8,559 pounds of trash left behind on Tahoe's beaches. And sad to say, I bet we break that record this year. Who does that? Throws trash on a beach and leaves it there. I can't imagine. As Joe would say, the idea. The idea, folks. Do we have tourists raised by wolves these days? It says the trash on Zephyr Shoals Beach near Zephyr Cove was so bad last year, volunteers could not even find a place to step foot on the beach. Plastic and garbage blanketed the sand. Red Solo cups and beer cans, food wrappers and bathing suits, floating devices and beach chairs tossed into the sagebrush. Buried underneath the sand, cigarette butts, straws, bottle caps. Is any Tahoe town going to take some real action on this? Like arrests? Or do they just love these tourist wallets so much? Then again, I have to say, to be honest, we're talking about a region based on tourism. That is their business. That would not or cannot shut out tourists on one of their largest weekends. Let's go to Doug calling from Gardnerville. Doug calling on the Tahoe Trash, riling folks up. Good morning, Doug. I'm glad you called.
I'm a lifetime resident of this area, South Lake Tahoe primarily is where I grew up, and I'm not proud to say, but when I was a kid, we had a thing called the Flatlander Tax, and that was penalized the people that would come up and make a bunch of noise and leave their trash out for the bears and just, you know, generally become jerks. We'd wait for them to go to the casinos, and then we'd help them. Ourselves to their stuff, but I mean, I was a kid at that time in the 80s. I'm sure the
so it was back
I'm
then
sure
too.
The statute of limitations has run.
All right, you can find some.
That's how we dealt with it. That's how we dealt with it. We were very frustrated.
I know somebody who likes to hike out there, and they ended up with some nice hiking sticks and a raft once. I mean, it's unbelievable what's left out there. And I know a lot of locals. What they do is they get out of town. It's like us with street vibrations, not knocking motorcycles at all here, folks. Thanks a lot, Doug. I appreciate your call. Yeah, as Doug just mentioned, locals can't shop when this horde comes in. Here's a message on Reddit this morning. Can confirm they are here. Rayleigh's Incline was packed with empty shelves this morning. Yes, and I also heard no ice cream. At the near Zephyr Cove Safeway this week. No ice cream. But you know what? Nothing will be done. It'll be just like last year. And you know what? They'll survive. We'll survive. The Tahoe locals will always clean it because they love it. It's home to a lot of people. Big cities are full of garbage and smell like piss. And the tourists still go there. Just let's not do that to one of the oldest, beautiful alpine lakes that we have now. Riled up today. Let me pass on something noteworthy, and that is the five stages of life before we get to Fox News. The five stages of life, folks. To grow up, to fill out, to slim down, to hold it all in, and number five, to hell with it. Thank you very much. Speaking of which, how long do you keep a pair of jeans hoping you'll be able to fit back into them again one day? Yeah, I think 30 years is the correct answer there. Yeah. Or as I say, next year for sure. Next year for sure. Up next, we have a great guest, and this is something, you know, you overlook in your home. I do it. Don't do it because it'll cost you. Steve of Steve's Water Heater Installation and Plumbing. It's time to consider replacing the water heater, and I say that because these things seem to have shorter and shorter lifespans. Just like the refrigerators and the stoves and everything like that. Water heaters is Steve's life. When is it time to replace a water heater? And did you know that you have to flush yours out, even the instant water heaters? It'll behoove you to listen to a few minutes of Steve. He's coming up next for a segment, and we'll take calls from folks out there concerned about any plumbing issue at 884-9910 after Fox News. That's up next. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 9:58.